We're going to get right into the Word. Amen. If you got your Bible, say, I have my Bible. This morning, I'm going to deviate just a little bit off course that I've been traveling on the last few weeks. We've been in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to continue that, Lord willing, next week. But I really want to try and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to me and directs me. And yesterday morning, and I had my message all ready for today. And yesterday morning, before we had practice yesterday at 9:30, and He began speaking to me sitting on my couch in my living room about some things. And so throughout the course of the day, I allowed Him to speak into my heart and help me with this. And so this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, we will continue Romans 8 again next week, Lord willing. But this morning, I want to talk to you about this subject. Hear me now. You listening? If you got your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you got it on, you got a hard copy, wave it at me. All right? If you've got it on your device, wave it at me. Amen. We need the Bible, right? I don't care how you get it. We need the Bible. Well, I got a word to you, for us, for me, for you, about that Bible. Here's that word. Stop editing the Bible. It's time to stop editing the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about translations, okay? I'm talking about your Bible, your word that God has given to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this. All scripture, everybody say all scripture, is given by inspiration by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Here's why. So that the man of God or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So I want to give you a thought as I open up this morning with an idea of this. God did not give us His word to revise it. It was given to us to transform us. The word of God will transform your life. You know, we live in a world that is, everything is editable now, right? I mean, if you see a photo on social media, I guarantee you in most cases, that photo has been edited. I see some people, boy, they look like movie stars. Then you see them in real life, you go, that don't equate. You know? And that's just the world we live in. And there's nothing wrong with doing that and having fun with it. But we edit videos before anybody sees them. We edit emails, right? Sometimes before we send them, we edit documents before we print them. Editing has become a normal way of life for us. But unfortunately, many people have that same mindset when it comes to applying the Word of God to their life. Instead of us asking, what does God say? Here's what we tend to ask. What do I want God to say? Instead of allowing Scripture to shape our beliefs, we try to reshape and remold the Scripture to fit our beliefs. See, we live in a culture where people don't necessarily reject the Bible out and out. They just simply rewrite it. Here you go. We ignore the parts that confront sin. I want to get to the blessing part. I don't want to hear about that sin stuff. They try to explain away the parts that talk about living holy. I know I ain't going to make no friends here today, so I'm just going to do it anyway. Okay? They redefine the parts that offend culture. The problem is, God never gave us His word to revise it. He gave it to transform us. See, Paul writes to the young Timothy here in one of the darkest periods of the early church history. False teachers were increasing and coming from everywhere. Society was becoming hostile towards Christianity. Kind of feels like it does today sometimes. Many believers were doing this. They were abandoning the truth. Paul's response wasn't adjust your message. His response was stand on the word of God. And if ever in society the church has needed to stand on the word, it is now. We need to stand. I want to be known as a man that stands on the word. I don't necessarily, I'd love to, but that probably ain't going to happen. I don't want to be known as a great preacher or this or that. I want to be known as a man that stood on the word. Amen. How about you? And that message is relevant for us today. And the issue isn't really whether or not you own a Bible, because millions of Bibles sit on our coffee tables, on our bookshelves, and are on our smartphones, right? The real issue is whether we will allow the Bible to have authority over our lives. We become comfortable reading the parts we like while quietly ignoring the parts that challenge us. I was thinking, I was going to say this at the beginning. I think all the time, I think kind of weird sometimes, but I was wondering if Jesus was here today, if the disciples were here walking the earth today, what would they tell us? Well, I feel like our church, we would be getting a letter from Paul. Yeah. Amen. But I feel like that they would be telling us this, because we've got something that the early church did not have. We've got the scripture everywhere. We got it on our walls. Some of you might even have it on your refrigerator at home, right? If you don't, you ought to put this scripture on your refrigerator. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then when you open that refrigerator. Okay. See, that was for me. All right? That was for me. I know that. But we will quote verses that comfort us, but how many times are we walking around quoting scriptures that convict us? We need conviction to fall in the church. My Lord, we need conviction to fall in this church. Now, I'm not looking out here saying you're sinning. I'm just saying we need to let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do in our lives. I can't judge you. You can't judge me. But let me tell you what, I can judge my own life. And I can tell you there are things at times I need to ask the Holy Spirit to convict me and to help me. Here's one we need to pray. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to convict us of things that used to bother us that no longer bother us. I'm not talking about growth. I'm talking about searing your conscience so that it no longer bothers you to watch something or to go somewhere or to do something that you know is wrong in Scripture. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to change our hearts. Restore that fire in us. That if it's wrong, it's wrong. And we need to take a stand against it. Here you go. Listen to this. The moment we decide which parts of God's word we will honor and which parts we will ignore, then we are placing ourselves in authority over him. We have stopped being disciples and we have become editors. Now that part, that scripture right there, I marked a couple of these verses out now. I don't even know what the verses were. You can go back to the title screen. I marked a couple of verses out because I may think that verse applies to Getch It, but it don't apply to me. I want to tell you the whole Bible applies to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, the whole Bible. God never intended for us to edit his word. He intends for us to submit to it. Before Paul tells Timothy what the scriptures do, he first reminds him of where they come from. See, if we lose sight of the source, we'll eventually lose sight and lose respect for the authority of the source. Everything begins with this foundational truth. You hear me this morning? The Bible is inspired by God. But it's not inspired by culture. He told Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That phrase, given by inspiration of God, literally means this. It means that God breathed that into being. It didn't originate with human imagination. It didn't begin as religious opinions. It's God's very breath placed into human authors through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter even confirms this. He says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit as he spoke, as the Holy Spirit came and spoke from God. There's over 40 authors of the Bible. Spans over three continents when it was written, three different languages, over 1,500 years it covers. Yet it's one perfect message. It cannot be explained by human genius. I love archaeology. I love watching documentaries. I love that the scientists keep finding sites and things in archaeology that people set out to disprove the Bible, that it gets flipped on them, and it turns out that it makes the Bible true. You hearing me? I don't know how anybody with any kind of wisdom in their head at all could hear all the things the Bible says, even in the words of prophecy, of what we see going on in the world. That ought to make you wake up. Can only be described by divine inspiration. You know, people will tell you, that book was written by men. Yes, it was. God used men. He breathed upon them. And they wrote this scripture in their own language, with their own context, but it was what God told them to write, because he supervised every word. You don't have this book by accident. It has a purpose. It's divine purpose behind this. Just like a musician plays different instruments but can produce one beautiful song, God used different personalities to communicate one perfect message. See, the Bible is not inspired by culture, because culture changes with every generation. Ain't that right? I mean, stick around. The clothes that some of you wore in the 70s are already back, right? The 80s are back. Amen? It's just culture keeps changing and changing. But here's the good news for us. God never changes. Culture says truth evolves and grows and develops. But God says in the book of Psalms, he said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Praise God. See, culture celebrates whatever is popular. God declares what is holy. And if we allow culture to determine our truth, then truth will change every decade. But God's word remains forever. You know, you imagine if you had a compass and you're trying to get to a destination, and you know, you use that compass to find your way, and if that compass would constantly be changing the direction north all the time, you would never get there. And that's how it is with culture. It constantly shifts and changes, but the Bible is the only compass that never changes. You hear me? It always points us to Jesus Christ. Now, as wonderful as it is to know that the Bible is inspired by God, that truth demands a response from us. So if the Bible is truly God-breathed, it just cannot simply be another book on our bookshelf. If these are truly God's words, then they carry God's authority Uh-oh. Think about it like this. When a king issued a decree in biblical times, the authority was not found in paper or ink. The authority came from the word that the king spoke. And to ignore the decree was to reject the king himself. And the same is true with Scripture. When we open the Bible, we're not merely reading the opinions of Moses and David and Isaiah or Paul or even Peter. We are hearing the voice of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what we should be seeing. That's what we should be hearing. That reminds us that every command in Scripture deserves our obedience. Every promise deserves our faith. Every warning deserves our attention. And every truth, here you go, deserves our submission. See, the real tragedy today is not that people don't own a Bible. Like I said, we've got Bibles everywhere. I've got probably 15 or so in my office. I just love the Word. But the tragedy is that many have reduced God's Word to just simply a collection of suggestions rather than the authority in their life. God never intended for His Word to be treated as good advice. He gave this to you as absolute authority. You, my friends, you better get this one. You will be judged by the words of this book. But I don't want to use that scripture when I get judged. X. That don't change nothing, right? I'm still going to be judged by this book. So if you live your life thinking, am I honoring what's in this book? Because we always talk about that, don't we? I want to bless Jesus. I want Jesus to be happy with me. You want to make Jesus happy? And you want to make Him pleased? Know His Word. Right? Know His Word. Because that Word can literally change your life. Praise God. Which brings me to my second truth. The Bible is authoritative, not optional. Turn your neighbor and say, my Bible is not optional for me. Because Paul tells us this. Paul just told us this in the scripture we read. He said, Scripture is profitable. I like profit, don't you? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Here's one we don't like. For correction. Ouch. Everybody say, ouch. Ouch. For instruction in righteousness. Why do we come to church? Because we need to be instructed on how to live. We don't come to church just to feel good. We don't come to church just to hear a good song, right? We come to worship, obviously, but we also come to receive instruction from Him because we need to know how to live. And too many preachers today are holding back, not telling people truth. I don't want to stand before God and God say, why didn't you tell them the truth? These four words describe the authority of God's Word. Doctrine tells us what's right. Reproof tells us what's wrong. Correction tells us how to get it right. Instruction teaches us how to stay right. Amen? But notice this. The Bible does not ask permission before correcting us. It just confronts us. It convicts us. It changes us. We live in a world where everyone wants truth to be compromised. You know, people say, this is my truth. I've heard this many, many times. This is how I believe. But I want to know, what does God say? Right? Because the world will tell you, this is okay. Do this. You'll be okay. You'll feel okay. It's not about feelings, church. My Bible tells me that those that know the truth will make them free. God doesn't reveal things to you to keep you in bondage. He doesn't tell you His truth, even if it convicts us or confronts us or cuts us. He doesn't tell us these things to make us feel bad. He tells us these things so He can change us. The Word of God will literally change your life if you allow it to. Quit trying to make the word adjust to you. You need to adjust to the word. Jesus even said this. He even said this. This is what Jesus said. This is not me. This is Jesus. He said, Lord, sanctify them. Set them apart. Make them holy. Sanctify them in the truth. And he continues, he says, and your word is what? Truth. Not that it contains it, not that it becomes it. It is the truth. Truth does not change because opinions change. God has never, hear me, God has never taken a vote on morality. Well, let me ask you a question. Let's take this sin. Is it okay with this group? Raise your hands. Or is it wrong? And this, God never does that. God lays it out, tells you how to live, expects you to live it, will empower you to live it. He will give you the strength to overcome. Did I say it was easy? No. Did I say you might fail? Yes, you might fail. But if you will be determined that you're going to honor his word, even when you fall, you can get up. Even when you fall, you can change. It might be a process, but God will change you if you will make up your mind, I'm going to change. So then if you fail, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you because you have messed up that it's done. Then he wins. What do you do? How do you handle that if you fail? What do? You repent. Forgive me, Lord. I tried. I failed. I'm going to try again. Help me to overcome this thing. When you fall, get up. Don't lay there and cry and weep in it and roll in it and enjoy it. Let me take a minute. Ouch. How many times have we done just that? We fail and we recognize, well, God, I've messed up now. Might as well enjoy it. Holiness, holy living has never been determined by public opinion. God has already spoken. You know, if you go to the doctor and the doctor examines you and he discovers that you have cancer, and this doctor refuses to tell you that you have cancer because he doesn't want to offend you. That's dangerous, right? How about a preacher who refuses to preach the whole counsel of God because he kind of feels like God is not compassionate and doesn't understand what the people are going through, the pressures they are facing, the temptations they deal with? What's he doing? I'll tell you what the preacher's doing. He's withholding the cure. You ain't never going to get better because I feel sorry for you. You ain't never going to get better because I give you a phone call. But you can get better when you let the word of God speak into your life and direct your course and direct your actions. Because sometimes the Bible will wound us before it heals us. My Bible tells me this. I know my brother Patrick can quote this. I've heard him quote it many, many times. It says this. Y'all hear me. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Many, many times, conviction is the very first evidence of God's love in your life. Because God doesn't bring conviction to harm you. He brings it to change you. Because, you know what, let me state this loud and clear. We've done it before. You know it already. We've even sung it this morning. Our God is holy. Yes, he is. You hear me? He's holy. There's no sin in him. There's nothing even remotely compares to sin in our Heavenly Father. And he tells us, we are challenged throughout Scripture to be like him. What do you mean, Pastor? Be like God. What I mean by that is we need to try to embrace his character. Because he even tells us, he says this to us. He said, be ye holy. Be ye holy. You should be a holy people. Certain things you shouldn't do. Certain places you shouldn't go. Certain things you shouldn't take into your eye gate or your ear gate. You hear me? Certain things you shouldn't put in your mouth. God is holy. God is holy. And if we're going to honor him and be like him, we got to start acting like it. So at this point, we've established two unshakable truths. First of all, that the Bible is inspired because it comes from God. Secondly, the Bible is authoritative because it speaks with God's authority. But there's one more that our culture, one more lie that our culture wants us to believe, something like this. The Bible may have been good for people 2,000 years ago. I've heard this. May have been good for people 2,000 years ago, but it isn't enough for today's world. People tell us times have changed. Technology has changed. Society has changed. Our methods have changed. Our tools may change. Our vocabulary may change. But the human heart has not changed. People still wrestle with sin. People, even some of us here in this room this morning, we still carry guilt. We still carry shame. We still struggle with fear, anxiety, loneliness, and hopelessness. People still need forgiveness. People still need redemption. And we still need Jesus this morning. So if the problem hasn't changed, then neither has God's solution. The same word that brought conviction to kings still convicts sinners today. The same word that confronted believers in prison still confronts believers in hospitals. The same word that transformed Saul of Tarsus still transforms lives in the 21st century. Church, God's word has never become obsolete because God cannot become obsolete. And the Bible does not need to be updated to meet the needs of our generation. Our generation needs to be transformed by the word of God. The world says the Bible needs to catch up with the times. God says the times need to catch up with my word. That's the real difference right there. He reminds Timothy that God's word is not only inspired and authoritative, he tells him that the word is sufficient and it's never outdated. He says, here's why. And he concludes in this verse we read, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. The word of God equips believers for everything that God calls them to do. The Bible doesn't need cultural updates. It doesn't require modern reversions or revisions to stay relevant. It remains timeless because its author is eternal. Because technology will change, even governments will change, generations will change, but the human heart remains the same. We still struggle with sin. We still need forgiveness. We still need salvation, and we still need Jesus. And the Bible still provides every answer that we truly need because it's alive. You hear me? Hebrews said it is, the word of God is living and it is powerful. It's not dead. It's still, the Bible still convicts. It still saves. It still restores marriages. It still changes addicts. and it still calls the prodigals home. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it still transforms lives. And every person in this room this morning, you need to be transformed. I don't care how far you've come in the kingdom, you have not arrived yet. Okay? Just look at your neighbor and say, I just want you to know. Look him in the eye. I just want you to know. I have not arrived. It still transforms lives. You ever notice nobody complains because the sun is old? The sun's been rising every morning since God spoke it into existence in the book of Genesis. No one wakes up in the mornings and they say, man, we need a newer model. Why? Because the sun has proven itself to remain faithful every single day. Its age isn't a weakness. Its age is the evidence of its reliability. See where I'm going with that? This Bible has been proven time and time and time and time again. We've had it for thousands of years now. It is real, it is powerful, it is true. It is forever settled in heaven. This word will judge you. This word will give you freedom. This word will answer your questions. This word will give you guidance. It'll give you hope. It'll give you inspiration. It'll give you power. And generation after generation, people have tried to replace it, to rewrite it, or just to simply ignore it. But every morning, this Bible, just like the sun, it still stands. It still speaks. And it still changes lives. How do I know that? I can stand up here this morning and tell you I know that is true because of what it has done in my life. I'm talking about since I became a believer. There was a point in my life I had lost everything. And what did I do? How did I get my head straight? How did God change my life to put me back on course? I'll tell you how I did it, and I've told this before. I'm a technology guy. I love technology. I've got my phone. I got my Bible. I looked up verses dealing with my need. Every morning when I would wake up, I'd go sit on my front porch, and I'd sit there in my rocking chair, and I took my Bible out with those scriptures I had highlighted, and I just began to speak them over my life. At first, I felt like dirt. I felt like the lowest of the lowest. I was shameful. I was nothing. I was hopeless. But little by little, that word began to creep into my heart and to get into my heart. How did it get there? I spoke it out loud. But Pastor, you know, you're just being religious about this. Call it whatever you want to. I'm just telling you it works, right? Faith comes by hearing. The preacher preached a message on YouTube. That's how I get my faith. That's what I would think some people do, because if you get all the YouTube videos get sent to me, you'd wonder, what are they listening to? When they had time to read the Bible? Faith doesn't come from preachers. Well, it does come from preaching the word. But you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from television. The Bible, this is what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then, let's just add it up. How do I hear the word? I just took mine out. In my greatest time of need in my life as an adult, as a Christian, I just started reading it, and then I started speaking it out loud so I could hear it in my own ears. Yes. I didn't do it for my wife. I didn't do it for my family. I did it for me. Yeah. And little time, day after day, week after week, that began to take root in my heart. Yes. And before you know it, I didn't have to go have someone lay hands on me to get shame cast out of me. Yeah. Oh. The word of God drove that from me. Wait a minute here. Do you mean that I can get the deliverance I need, the freedom in my mind I need, simply by speaking the word? Amen. Come on. Yes. How about that? But I got to call the pastor, tell him all my problems, so he can do nothing. Because not one time have I helped any of you guys out of anything like that. I don't mind you telling me your needs. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm not your source. Man's not your source. Amen? I'll be here to pray with you, and Lord knows I will pray with you and agree with you, because I do believe that there is power and agreement in prayer. But I'm not your source. Don't come to me when you got a problem. The first place you ought to go is to your knees. Take your need to the throne room. Amen? Then you go find your Bible. I'm going to tell you, put your cell phone down, get your hard copy Bible. We need to become familiar with the pages of this book. I like what one preacher said. He said, I love that we have the digital methods and all that. He said, but I just love hearing the pages turn as I read my Bible. You know, we need to put this Bible in our hearts. Didn't David say that he said, I will put the word of God in my heart. Why? So I will not sin against him. Even David was concerned. The Bible has never failed. So why would we want to replace it with anything else? Because you know what? Empires have risen and empires have fallen. Kings and presidents have risen and been elected and fallen. Critics have come and gone. But what remains? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. Help me out. The B-I-B-L-E. So when life becomes confusing, what do? You run to scripture. Yes. When emotions try to overwhelm you, and we live in a world that's filled with emotions. What do? You run to scripture. When culture screams louder and louder for you to yield to it, what do? Run to scripture. Because the Bible has never lost its power. We have simply stopped listening. Let me close with this. One of the most dangerous phrases in all of Christianity for us today begins like this. I know what the Bible says, but I know what the Bible says about forgiveness, but I know what the Bible says about holiness, but I know what the Bible says about marriage, but I even know what the Bible says about giving, but that little word there, that little three-letter word, but, has become the doorway to compromise. Every compromise begins when we place our opinions above God's word. But every revival begins when God's people humble themselves beneath God's word. So, church, it's time to stop editing the Bible and let the Bible update us. God didn't inspire Scripture so we could edit it. He inspired Scripture so it could transform us. I dare say, I pray to the Lord that I don't stand up here and preach truth to you and you ignore it. Because whether you feel it's right or wrong, honestly, I love you with all my heart, but hear me, it is irrelevant. Your opinion is irrelevant, because you're not going to stand in front of the judge and say, Lord, here's how I took it. That it was okay for me to do that. You know what he's going to say to you? You willfully lived in disobedience. But here's what Jesus said people are going to hear. Some of the scariest words in all of Scripture. Depart from me, for I never knew you. But I sang in church. Dylan even put me on the praise team. We got to have a talk with Dylan. But I did all these things for you, Lord. I came to all the dinners. Oh, I'm going to hear that a lot when you get in line. I came to all the church dinners. I'm telling you, I know how to fill these altars up. I do. I have figured it out. I'll come in here on a Sunday morning and say, okay, this Sunday, we got plates set at each spot in the altar. Y'all be down here so fast. I did all this stuff. Let me finish. I'm going to finish. We did all this stuff for you. I came to church, sang in the choir, sang on the praise team. I came to the men's meetings, came to the lunches, came to all this stuff. I participated. I was active in church. But what's he going to say? Depart from me. Because church, it's not about your works. It's about your obedience. And in that obedience, you will learn you can have a relationship with him. Because if you study that out, that's what he says. Depart from me because I never knew you. In other words, we never entered into relationship together. That's what God wants from you. Relationship. It's just not one-sided. You give, he gives. You participate, he participates. That's what he wants with you. He wants to be a part of your everyday life. So let me just say this. Church, here's my message to us today. We've got to put the word first. If the word says don't do it, don't do it. If the word says stop, stop. If the word says do it with everything you've got. Amen? So stop trying to edit the Bible to make it meet your need. And let God edit you with his word. The word is the template. Y'all know what a template is, right? If you're going to start a project, especially on a computer, if you've got a template, that's a great starting point. The word is your template. This has the answers you need. So are you going to respond to what God says or try to do it your own way? Amen? So let me go back to my very first statement. I want to make sure you get this. God didn't give us his word so that we could revise it. He gave us his word so it would transform us. How are you being transformed? In what areas of your life is God changing? Do you have areas in your life that you know the Bible is clear about that you shouldn't be doing or should be doing, and yet you're not being obedient to that? I can't change that for you. If you say you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Oh my God, I got to close with that. Let's stand. Andy, I'm going to get you in just a second, brother. Hold on. Father, have your way here. Have your way here, Lord, in our lives. I pray now, Lord, this word this morning is so vital. We need to hear and heed your word. So I pray right now in the name of your son, Jesus, that if any of us here, I don't care if we're board members or Sunday school teachers or preachers, if there's anything that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of right now, I want to ask you, allow him to move in your heart. Allow him to drive that from you and replace it with him and his word and his spirit. Because God really does want you free from that. He really does want you free from that. There are things that might be holding you down. Maybe you can't see it. You can't understand how that could even be. But things in the spirit are much different than things in the natural. So I'm asking you this morning, are you willing? Are you willing to give it up for Jesus? I was just reminded about the rich young ruler. He said, Lord, I want to follow you. Jesus said to do certain things. And the rich young man said, I've done those things since I was even a child. And Jesus said, okay, take that money you've got, give it to the poor. Then come follow me. But that man couldn't let go of that. And he went away. The gospel is not a gospel of compromise. It's a gospel of submission. Are you willing to lay it down this morning? Are you willing to lay down your opinion? Are you willing to lay down your tongue, your habits, anything in your life that is, you know, is not pleasing and in alignment with Scripture? Are you willing to lay it down this morning? The altars are open. If you need to come find you a place and just have a talk with Jesus, this is your invitation. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, if you're not ready to meet him, everybody bow your head for just a moment. Nobody looking around the room. If you're not ready to meet Jesus this morning, but you feel like you really want to be ready, would you raise your hand and then put it right back down? Is there anybody else? Anyone, anyone. Our hearts and minds are clear. Praise God.
To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. My Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for.
Closing prayer this
morning. Be a sanctuary, pure and holy. sanctuary.
I want to sing it one more time, Dylan.
For you.
Make this a prayer, church. Please. Make this your prayer.
My Lord, prepare me.
Prepare me, Lord.
To be a sanctuary. Pure and holy.
Make me holy, Lord. Make me holy.
Tried and true.
I submit all my weak areas to you. I submit every area in my life not pleasing to you.
I'll be a
It might be okay publicly. It might be acceptable to do it. But if you're convicting me, I lay it down this morning, Lord. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender to you this morning, Lord. You are the King of the kingdom, and I'm your servant. I'm your disciple. So I yield to what you desire. Touch my heart this morning, Lord. Touch me this morning.
Sanctuary.
Let's sing it so heaven can hear it this morning.
Pure and holy.